Okay, we're going on with our class on dating. And last week we discussed equilibrium, we discussed balance, we discussed when should a person start dating, we discussed priorities and how a person gauges whether he's in flux or he's come to equilibrium. I want us to discuss a few more points before we get to the practicum of how does a person get dates.
Isn't there a time for us to field? Is that somebody? I don't know
what. The Torah describes Hashem created Adam, and Uladam lo matza ezer kenegdo. And poor Adam, he could find no partner. The Medrash tells us that Adam went looking. He said, "Who could be my mate?" Wasn't easy for him either. You know, we think we have to date a lot of girls. He couldn't find the girl to date. Adam, it says, went animal by animal and tried to see.
He didn't actually copulate with them, did he? Because I heard some opinion that he did.
There is a Medrash in Chazal that he did, yeah. So Adam is trying to think, which animal is going to be my mate? And he can't find any. And he's displeased. He feels like he needs a partner in this world. And after he reaches that conclusion, so then, after he's had this quest, this unsuccessful quest, then it says, "Vayapel Hashem Elokim tarde ma'al Adam." Hashem Elokim placed a somber over man. Vayishkav, Adam lay down, went to sleep. Vayikach achat mitzaleotav, God took one of his ribs or one of his sides, and then God put flesh instead of that side or that rib. And then Adam awakens from his slumber and he looks at her and he says, "Zotapam, this time, etzem atzamai, a bone from my own bones, uvasar mi besari, and flesh from my own flesh, lizot yikare isha, to this we'll call isha, ki me'ish lukoch hazot, for this was taken from ish." So she's going to be called isha. Now, if it was such a perfect fit, so then why couldn't she be there from the beginning? Why did Adam have to have this quest? Where is she? Who is she? How will I find her? And then he falls asleep and he wakes up and he says, this is her. One, every other animal was created male and female. The human being was not. He's master of the world. He gets to live all alone. He's the ideal bachelor. No one's going to tell him to put his clothes away, right? And he's unhappy. And that unhappiness is important. And yet, when he sees her, he says, she's Mrs. Wright. Would he not have reached that conclusion had he not had that period? Yeah. That period of loneliness? Yes.
But wasn't that over the course of one day? Like, does that mean he slept with every animal in the world in the span of one day?
It's an interesting question. Maybe when we get to Bracious, we'll discuss it. That's a good point.
Yeah, apparently. You won't find your mate just by sleeping with animals?
Maimonides says in the beginning of the Guide for the Perplexed, he says, sometimes when we tell a story, every detail is important. And sometimes there's a general point which we're trying to get across. So right now, we can't go into every detail. So, I think that the message is pretty simple. there's this need to have this period where we're alone. And there's a human need to recognize that I need someone else in my life. Because if we were born with our spouses, then maybe things wouldn't work well. And it's important that we have that perspective, because sometimes this whole process can be very frustrating. Why do I have to go through all of this? All I want is something very normal. Every animal has a mate. Every human being should have a mate. What's so complicated? So we are more complex, and there's a lot to discuss, but we also have to have a certain perspective, as to the process. And I think it's important to have the perspective that God created it this way. That means that there's something within me, a yearning that's normal, a yearning that should be there to get married. And even as that develops, and sometimes it can be overpowering, it can feel almost overpowering, we have to recognize that that's normal. There's obviously a need for that. It's there to help us fix something. So we have to think, what? But there's a reason for it. Yeah. Benjamin, you want some? No. You? Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm with you.
Adam was, if he was complete, why would he need, like in the beginning, woman came from his rib, from his pop's body, so he must have been complete in the first place. So why would he have the need to make a woman?
So, Hashem created a certain need within a human being that he doesn't feel good alone. Meaning, a human being is a social being.
If he's young now for a female, then it's because there's something missing from me, from a spiritual level. Something I'm not complete because I don't have the. For him, I'm saying he, if she was already a part, like if she came from, she must have already been a part. Is that why?
I hear what you're saying. I don't know enough about what it means that it was complete and she came from him to answer the question.
Right.
These are terms that are beyond me.
Rabbi,
I don't know.
Where did his other wives factor into all this?
Either on a Thursday night or when we get into Bereishis. So now the question is, how do we move forward? So let's think. What are we trying to get here? Where do we want to go? Let's make a roadmap, right? We want to get somewhere, so we have to build a map. Yeah?
I don't know if now's an appropriate time to answer the question, but you said every person needs a time alone before they should find their mate. Is there something we should be doing in this time? Other than just there's a general time of being alone. And then you should eventually feel this desire to attain the mate. Or what did he do in that time? Or what should he do in that time?
So, that's where I want to go now. On the simple level, person has to develop. And there's a thought by Rav Kook, Zatzal. Rav Kook said that the idea of each individual growing on their own is like two colors. When you want to make a painting, so if you just take colors and mix them together, each color is going to dull the other color. But if you're going to take each color and develop a strong red and a strong blue and a strong green, then you could put a strong red here and a strong blue there and a strong green there, and you put together vibrant colors, you have a beautiful picture. By the same token, every man and his wife, God made them born separately. Each one grows within their family, and each one develops their own strengths without having the other one next to them, so that the other one does not affect their growth. We grow, we develop our personality, our rich and vibrant colors, and our partner grows and develops their rich and vibrant colors, and then we both take our strengths and together we make our home. So on the simple level, we're developing who we are. Now, what I want us to think about are the traits that we should develop. So last week we discussed anger, 2 weeks ago we discussed anger, and we discussed a good eye. And I want us to think a little bit about what else needs to be developed, because each person has the points they have to develop. So if we said we're supposed to date out of equilibrium, So part of equilibrium is a certain consistency in performance of mitzvot. A person has to know where he's at. A person has to define himself to himself so that he can move forward. Every year I tell the story about the guy who... tell the story again this year. There was a guy who was dating a girl and was getting serious, and I hear him talking to the girl and he tells her, "You remember the shaila you brought up last time we were together? Well, I only got it in the break between morning seder and afternoon seder. I couldn't take time off of morning seder to deal with it, but in the break I looked it up and it says like this and this." And I happen to be right there when he tells her that. So when he gets off the line, I tell him, "You and I both know you slept all of morning seder. Why are you telling her that you were learning all morning so you couldn't get to it? And we both know it's a lie. We both know you were sleeping all morning." So the guy says, he comes back from being Shabbos with her family and he tells me, "Don't wake me tomorrow morning for Shabbos." I say, "Okay." He tells me, "No, you don't understand. When I was there, I spoke to her till 2 in the morning, and then I got up for Pesikin, and then I learned all afternoon, so now I got to sleep." So I said, "That's nice, but you never get up for Pesikin any other time. Don't you think there's a little bit something you should tell her about who you are?" So, to make a long story short, they got engaged, and she thought he wakes up at 5 o'clock every morning to learn, and I knew he's getting out of bed at like 12, 1. And at one point, I said to him, "Wait a second, what's going on here?" So he said, "Look, everyone has their ups and everyone has their downs. Right now I'm in a down. This is a slump. I'm going to get out of it. The true me, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to learn." So I told him, "But I know you for over 2 years now. It's been a pretty long slump." And he says, "It's a slump. I'll get out of it." So I said, and what'll be the morning after the wedding?" So he'll tell her, "I'm tired from the wedding." And what'll be a week later, and a month later, and 2 months later, and into the marriage? So he told me, "I'll get over it. It's just a slump." To make a long story short, they got married. They got divorced after a few months. And I thought to myself, you see? And then he got remarried and he started getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And he really did get up every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning and learn. He got out of his slump with the second one. So...
Is it the same
one? No, not the same one. Second one. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, who am I? Very often we like to think, "I'm the guy who gets up on time, I show up on time, I'm focused, I'm learning, and I do everything I should be doing, I keep Shabbat, I don't say Lashon Hara, I'm respectful to my parents, I shower every day, I walk around home, I live like the way I should, I don't waste my money, I do that, I'm a proper person." Well, I might have my days where I'm like that, and I might have my days where I'm not like that. The question is, who am I? And this is one of the more difficult questions. We all like to deceive ourselves. We all have this picture of ourselves which is much better than who we really are. And very often that's our potential. And that's who we'd like to be. But we have to think a little bit when we're dating a girl, what am I going to tell her? And who am I? And if I want to date a girl who's going to want a guy who keeps Shabbat, and who learns X number of hours a day, and who gets up for davening, etc. I want a girl who wants that kind of lifestyle. Well, then I have to be consistent in that lifestyle. So that goes back to what we discussed last week about equilibrium. So we have to grow and try to have steady growth. Now, steady growth doesn't mean there aren't ups and downs. There are always going to be ups and downs, but there has to be a range for the ups and downs. Meaning we have to try and get certain consistency. Now, this goes into a question not about dating, but a question about growth. And in growth, very often, tafasta merube lo tafasta. If you try to jump too high, too fast, you're not going to make it. You know, it's like all the guys that drop to yeshiva, and they learn all day and all night, and all day and all night, and all day and all night, and they crash. And then they start from scratch, and they learn all day and all night, and all day and all night, and then they crash. And this goes on for a few months, and then some people go insane, and some people leave learning, and some people figure out that they got to do things in a more balanced way, and then slowly but surely, after a period of months or years, they find the balanced way of growing. That's usually what happens in many yeshivot. And that's fine when it doesn't involve anyone else, when it's only me, when I'm 16 or 18 and I can afford it, so I can invest the time in learning about myself. For us, we have to really learn about ourselves. And one of the things that people confuse most is they confuse their aspirations, who I'd like to be, with who I really am. And very often people make big mistakes in life because they confuse that. So we have to think a little bit about who am I? How long have I been doing this? No one wants to hear, why don't you wait a half year before you start dating? No one likes hearing that. Makes me very unpopular. I say it and people don't like it. One of the things that I want to remind you is that what I began class with last week, now you don't have to buy anything I say. I respect you and from my perspective, you for sure know certain things more than me, and in this area you know yourself better than I do. And there are other people who might disagree with me, and you could disagree with me, and other people could disagree with me. This isn't halacha, it's a recommendation, and I'm explaining the logic behind the recommendation, but at the end of the day, it's your lives. I'm not telling anyone what to do. I'm explaining what I think is a logical process of growth and evolvement into dating, but you guys feel free to disagree. This is my disclaimer. Your responsibility. It's your lives. At the end of the day, you're going to be the one, married or not married, whatever. You're paying the price. So a person has to think, where am I headed? Where do I want to go? And sometimes, if we're not clear on that, we shouldn't proceed. And sometimes we could proceed. Meaning, if a person says, I don't know if I'm going to live in Israel or the United States. I don't know. But in general, the question of being an Orthodox Jew is clear for him. And he's been consistent in his keeping of mitzvot for a year, 2 years. And other areas of his life, he's consistent. So the question of where I'm going to live, well, that's an important question. But there can be many girls who can go along with that being up in the air. There will be more girls who won't be willing to go with that. But you can still find girls to date that will say, okay, we'll see with time. I'm still experimenting. I still have to see if I could find the job, etc. It's not going to be easy to find the date. But I wouldn't call that out of equilibrium. I have certain questions which aren't clear. I don't know yet if I'm going to be an engineer or I'm going to be an electrician or other areas. These aren't questions that envelop our lives. These are practical questions. We'll have to work them out. And a guy who hasn't yet finished his degree and doesn't yet know how he's going to support a family, so he has to figure out how they're going to put bread on the table. But at the end of the day, that's not a question that encompasses all of life. Questions of observance, questions of am I going to be the chief rabbi of Israel or am I going to be an engineer? Those are questions that can really envelop all of life and define for us who we're going to look at, who our spouse is going to be, and those are things that a person does have to think about and define for themselves. Any questions still here? No. Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry, Rabbi, even for Baal Tshuvas, you would sometimes even recommend more than 6 months, right?
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. My recommendation previous years was find a rabbi who knows you well and consult with him. But I found that when I said that, people just decided for themselves. So that's why I'm trying to give more direct answers. Less than 6 months, I think, is ridiculous. My recommendation would be at least a year, preferably 2 years. But I think that the ideal is that a person has a rav who knows them, who can help them. Being that I think 9 out of 10 guys didn't accept that advice the last few years that I said it, I left it out this year. But for the 1 out of 10, I should really say it, because that's really the best advice. If you have someone who knows you, you could think through with them where you're holding, where you're headed, that's the ideal. Yeah. Okay. One of the questions that you guys asked is, what midot should one work on? So let's think for a second. We discussed observance of mitzvot. Now, what midot are critical to building a home? I would say the capacity to hear someone else.
Generosity.
Or generosity. So, generosity, I think, if we look at the root of it, we can call it ein tova or lev tov, which are two different things. And ein tova, good eye, we discussed last week. A good heart, we'll discuss Bezat Shem, I hope, next week or the week after that. So I want to move on for a minute to the capacity to listen. And I thought that we would try to take, each week we would try to take something that each person tries to think about and maybe even work on for that week, even though a week isn't enough time to acquire a trait, but it's a start. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avot, Shiv'a Dvarim B'Chacham V'Shiv'a Dvarim B'Golem. In the fifth chapter, we learned this Mishnah a few weeks ago, there are five attributes to a wise man and five attributes to an unrefined person. So the Mishnah says, Chacham Eino Mdaber B'Fnei Mishu Gadol Mimenu B'Chochma. A wise man doesn't speak before someone who is wiser than him. Let me hear what he has to say. So on this one, I want us to skip to a different Mishnah, the beginning of the fourth chapter, and that is the Mishnah which tells us, Ben Azai Omer, Ben Zoma Omer, Ezu Chacham Alomed Mikol Adam. Who is a wise man? He who could learn from everyone. From everyone. The garbage man, the doorman, the collector, the guy at the makolet, everyone. We could learn from everyone. Now, if that's so, then when we say you don't speak before someone who's greater than you in wisdom, so in certain areas other people are wiser than us. There's a joke that says, if you see a couple and they're walking in a museum, they're on a date. If he's doing most of the talking, they just started dating. If they're talking equally, they're about holding by engagement. And if she's doing all the talking and he's hardly getting in a word edgewise, they're engaged or married. So it's a joke. But I'm not talking to the girls here. I'm talking to the guys. Our learning is for you guys, not for the girls. And all too often there are areas where men decide they know what they're doing. A prime example would be finance. How we manage the finances in the house. So he knows. It's worth hearing what other people have to say. Every person has areas where they're smarter and less smart. It's worth hearing what other people have to say, and it's worth getting into that habit of recognizing there. Every person has a point where they're stronger than I am. Ezu chacham alomed mikol adam. I could learn from everyone. And I thought that maybe that would be a good point. And I want to go on to the next point. And that is, ve'ino nichnas letoch divrei chavero. A wise person doesn't interrupt. A wise person doesn't interrupt. You know, there are cultural norms in speech. There are areas where people speak a little bit slower, and because they speak that way, people tend to think that they are a little bit slow. It's a joke, you can laugh. But really, it's a social norm. Meaning, by the same token, there are also cultural norms for speech. There are areas where you don't really finish a sentence. You expect other people to cut you off. This has become a norm I've noticed in much of the world. Notice your conversations with your friends over lunch. You'll notice that people are constantly cutting one another off. The Mishnah tells us a wise person waits until someone else finishes what they have to say. Again, we have to worry about cultural norms, because imagine a date where she keeps waiting for you to cut her off. So you're never going to get in a word edgewise, right? But it's a good habit, and it stems from a desire to hear what someone else has to say. let's begin with the practicum, and then we'll balance like this back and forth throughout our classes. So, assuming a person should start dating, so then he should be prepared with whatever he needs for a date, right? So, we're going to discuss where should one date. Clothing, a person should have clothing that aren't torn. I mean, should have clothing that are decent, that aren't stained. If you don't own them, come to me. We have a gemach for clothing. A person should shave if he's shaven. Comb his hair, take a shower, and he needs some cash. We're going to discuss that when you go on a date, you have to at least have the capacity to buy a drink. Often you will, sometimes you won't. And drinks at the hotels and places like that, a drink could cost you 20 shekel for a cup of tea. So you got to be prepared with that kind of money. So that's a person has to think a little bit to be prepared for the date. You also have to have answers to some of these questions about who you are and where you want to go and how you're going to get there. And a person has to be balanced. Now, as far as how does a person get dates, so we'll begin with the more classical one. In our day and age, okay, maybe we'll start the other way. The first thing that people ask me is if you're at a wedding and you see a girl and you think that you'd be interested in dating the girl. So Chazal tell us that the modest way to approach a situation like this is always to work through a third party. There was a guy in class a few years ago who said that he approached a girl at a wedding and he asked her for a number. And she said, well, my Rav is Rav Shurin. Why don't you have your Rav call my Rav? So the truth is that it's really a correct idea. Chazal say, out of modesty, a person is not supposed to pick up a girl off the street or pick her up at a bar. Out of modesty, there should be an intermediary. Chazal said it's considered immodest to approach a girl directly. That's why we have... You could call them shadchanim or intermediaries. If you're at an affair and there's someone who you think it would make sense for you to be set up with, so you could ask someone there who might know her if they could find out how you could get introduced to her. Eov says, "Brit karati leinai uvalet bonen al betula." I made a covenant with my eyes, I don't look at virgins. So Chazal tell us that Eov said... I don't look because maybe she won't be my wife in the end, and then I'll end up looking and thinking about a married woman. I think the same thing applies also at an affair. If you're at a wedding or something like that, so a person, I don't recommend looking around thinking that's where you'll find your shidduch. We'll discuss other venues which I think are more productive, Bezant Shem, next week. But sometimes people think that's the way to go about it, and you know, things do sometimes succeed that way, but that wouldn't be my first choice. I think that a person should first try more traditional routes, and hopefully Bezat Shem will find the success that way. So Bezat Shem, this is where we'll pick up next week. If anyone wants to join us, we're learning 2-3 Allah.